kind of faith only comes through the Word of God. I also shared with you that you received a measure of faith when you were born again. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God put into each of us the same measure of faith, according to Romans 12:3. But we can increase that faith, and it's our responsibility to grow it. You can walk your whole Christian life on that same measure of faith, knowing that you accepted Jesus, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that you've been truly born again and you have a place in heaven to go to. But you can also increase it here to begin to get benefits through the grace of God that He's promised us through the Word of God. So here's a blind man. He became blind sometime in his life, maybe born blind or became blind somewhere in his life. And he hears about Jesus. And you'll begin to see his faith as it rises. And we begin to see Jesus challenge that faith. I think the trying of the faith will come. But also, I want you to begin to see here how Jesus begins in every story I've been sharing with you, how he begins to take faith and challenge us with the faith, or shows us that it's because of our faith that we receive from him. Another thing that's been quickened to me, over there it says in Romans that we shall not be ashamed or disappointed. I want you to notice that I push faith a lot because I've been seeing a lot of disappointment up in this county, and I believe that we can get rid of that disappointment. We can begin to get rid of the shame on our churches if we just begin to challenge ourselves to walk in the Word of God, to receive from the Word of God, to begin to get the best of God. Remember, grace means the benefits and the favor of God. If we begin to apply our faith that comes to the Word of God to God, we'll begin to receive His benefits. And you'll find and see His benefits through faith. Now notice here in verse 27, that fame whereof went abroad into all the land. And Jesus departed from thence. Where did he depart from? He departed from after healing the woman with the issue of blood and of Jairus. And so he begins to leave that scene and he begins to enter into another scene. He departs then. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." A couple things I would like you to see here. First of all, there was two blind men. I apologize, I said one. Notice that they were also following him. The crying there means they made themselves known. They were crying with a purpose. I've seen a lot of crying in the church, but with no purpose. I've seen moaning and griping and complaining. But here are two blind men crying out to God with a purpose. Well, how did they have that purpose? That purpose came by the Word of God, what they heard. Faith will always get the attention of God. He will stop to hear His own word pronounced. I shared with you that God is obligated. He obligated Himself to His own word. In other words, if I gave my daughter here my word and promised her something and did not keep my word to her because I obligated myself to her, then I will begin to come to her as a person that doesn't keep the word. My integrity begins to shrink in her eyes. My worth to her becomes nothing to her if I don't keep what I've obligated myself to her. If God has promised us something in the Word of God, He gave us His Word. He said that He obligated Himself to His own Word. If God doesn't keep His obligation, if He does not keep the promise of His Word, then God begins to shrink in our eyes. So the problem comes down to this. Is it God's obligation to His Word, or is my faith not connecting with Him? We got to ask that question at crucial hours. Because our churches are beginning to shrink, our lives might be beginning to be full of pain or whatever you're facing in life. But if you want to change those circumstances, the only way to change it and not be disappointed or ashamed is through the Word of God. God will always obligate Himself to perk up His ears and listen to you if you approach Him with the Word of God. He's not just going to come to you because you're whining and moaning and griping. Sometimes when my children would do that, I would tell them to shut up because it gets on your nerves after a while. God doesn't want us to look down on us as being pathetic. He wants us to look down on us that we're His children, that He's given a measure of Himself to us. He's given us His faith. He wants us to exceed in that faith. He wants us to build up that faith by hearing and hearing the Word of God so that when we cry out at Him, we cry out to Him with a purpose. We cry out to Him that will get His attention. He wants to listen to it. He is pleasurable. It's pleasing to Him to fulfill the desires of our heart. And the desires can come by the Word of God. These blind men began to get a desire for healing. because they heard about Jesus. If we begin to proclaim this word, or we begin to read this word through the eyes of wanting to know who our God is, and we begin to allow the word to speak to us, it's going to give us different desires in our heart. And when we pray to him, when we cry out to him, we're going to be able to get his attention above every else's attention. Remember in the story of the issue of the woman with the blood, there was a multitude touching him that day. There was maybe hundreds or thousands touching Jesus and touching Jesus, touching Jesus. But a woman come up behind him and said to her, into herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. When that touch hit his garment and the power of God flowed out of Jesus into her, he instantly stopped and said, somebody touched me. Now think about that. Hundreds and thousands of people touching him, but another woman comes in and touches him with faith. He stops because of her faith and turns around and said, somebody touched me. She was a woman that was not allowed into the crowd. She was a woman that was unclean, but she stopped the feet of Jesus and he turned around. See, sometimes we think, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going with it. I don't know why sometimes we feel so unworthy. We feel like we're not worthy of God. We don't feel like he should pay any attention to us. Oh, poor, we cry out the tears. We put our head on a pillow and we talk about how miserable we are and how we're not worthy of anybody and how lonely we are that nobody cares. And we cry up a storm and our pillowcase gets all wet and drenched from our tears of our sorrows. But God's sitting there thinking, my. This woman was unclean. This woman was bleeding with a hemorrhage for 12 years. She was unclean. She wasn't allowed to be around anybody. She was an outcast. She spent all of her wealth. She came bankrupt. She was cast out of society. But she heard about Jesus also. And when faith rose up in her heart, she changed her circumstances. She changed the situation of her life because faith gave her a desire for healing. That faith overrode her circumstances. That faith gave her a boldness to walk over her sickness and do something about her situation because faith gave her a new desire. Faith gave her a new hope in her soul that became her anchor, and that hope drove her to Jesus. And she said within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I will be healed. And that faith, that touch of faith, touched that hem of power, and that power went out of him into her and changed her life forever. Amen? These men heard about Jesus, and they began to cry out to him with a new type of cry. Instead of poor old us, we've been sitting here begging all of our life. We want someone to help us. For the first time, they cried out with a cry that got the attention of God himself in the flesh. Jesus stops. Because what did they say? Thou son of David. This is what I received this morning thinking about this. Matthew 1:1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the seed of David, or the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now these two men are very interesting. Jesus came through the flesh of the loins of these two men. David, as you know, was the king of Israel. And David wanted to build God a house where he could dwell. And God came to him through a prophet and said, I cannot allow you to build my house. You're a bloody man. You've killed a lot of people. You have murdered. You have shed a lot of blood. But because of your faith, because of your love for me, because of your tenderness towards me, I will give you a seed that shall establish a throne that his kingdom shall rule forever. And he was talking about Jesus there. Through your generation, through your seed, through your flesh, shall come a seed and he shall rule forever. And he was talking about Jesus. And Abraham, his name was Abram, and God came to him and said, through your seed, and in the Greek, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek of the Old Testament, not Hebrew or Aramaic, he said a seed, not seeds. In Galatians 3:16, it begins to talk about not seeds, but a seed, and that seed is Christ. So what they were saying to him, you son of David, you are the one that has been prophesied about. You are truly the Messiah. You truly are the Christ. We recognize you as God in the flesh. We recognize you as the one that has been anointed by God to be the ruler, and your throne shall be established forever. There was a lot of said in that cry. He said, thou son of David, thou anointed of God, thou Messiah, thou Christ. We need to get a hold of who Jesus is. He was just not a figure. He was just not a man. He was God that became flesh. He was truly the anointed one. He truly is God, and he still is truly God. Amen? We got to understand who he is. Jesus pronounced who he was. In Acts 10:38, it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. This is what these blind men were hearing. They were hearing how there's a man anointed by God that is doing tremendous things, and through the power of God that's on him, people are being healed, people are being delivered, people are being set free. In Luke 4:18, Jesus himself, after the Spirit of God came upon him and rested on him, he made a pronouncement. When he went into the synagogue that Saturday, he stood up, he read the word, he sat down to begin to teach, and he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what these blind men heard. Is God's Spirit still here today? Is God's power still in this place today? We need to answer these questions. I believe the Holy Spirit put this in the Word of God so that we can begin to fathom this. Who is the Son of David? The Son of David is the Messiah. The Son of David is the Christ. Is he the same Christ today that he was then? God said, I will never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe the same power that healed those blind men is the same power that's in this place. It's the same power that lives in you. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. We need to get a hold of that. When we get a hold of that, our lives will change. But the only way we can touch that power, the only way we can make that potential power become usable is through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. It is the key. It is the door that opens the power of God that's dwelling and living in us. Amen? Thousands of people were touching Jesus that day. But he stopped for Jairus, and he stopped for a woman with an issue of blood. Why did he stop? Why did he stop for those two and those two alone? Because they got full of faith. And now he stopped for two blind men because they also heard about Jesus. Faith came by hearing, and he stops and he begins to converse with these two blind men. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach and to heal and to set the captive liver that are bruised. In the New King James, it says to set those who are oppressed. Isn't that good? In Acts 10:38, it said how he was anointed with the Holy Ghost power, who went about and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Here in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me to set those that are oppressed free. That oppression in the Greek means dominance. They were being dominant by blindness. Blindness was dominating their life. I can't imagine living life not being able to see. I thank God almost every time I think of it. Thank God I can see. I just can't imagine not seeing. We stayed in a room when I was hunting this season. It was so dark in that room, I was getting claustrophobia or whatever they call it. I told Brenda, I have to go out and turn a light on. This is creeping me out. I was like getting a little nervy. You know, I couldn't handle the darkness. I can't imagine living in a life of complete darkness. And so they said, have mercy on us. That word there is a commandment. They command it by their cry for Jesus to pay attention to them. Isn't that amazing? If you're not following this, when we get a hold of the promise of God and we begin to cry out that promise to God, we begin to speak that promise to God, it means that we're almost commanding God to listen to us. That's pretty bold, isn't it? But he's not listening to you per se. He's listening to his promise that he's obligated to. He's hearing somebody get a hold of it. He's hearing somebody with faith. He's hearing somebody that understands the truth that God became flesh and dwelt among us and gave us these promises to show us the benefits that God wants to do for us called grace. You're saved by faith through grace. Amen? Now listen to this. And I taught you this. We cannot command, the inferior cannot command the superior. That would be like today, Luke goes home and his son commands him to do what he wants. Now, that didn't fly in my home. I said, we got to turn that ship around. You listen to me. I don't listen to you. You follow me. And so when we say this, we say, we can command God? No. But what it means is God has given us a way to approach Him that brings us as an inferior to get the attention of the superior. It's a way that God has designed in His will that we can come to Him, that He will pay attention to us, that He will put His eyes on us, that He will listen and heed to what we got to say, because we're speaking back the promises that He spoke to us back to Him. Isn't that good? And so they're speaking to Him. Have mercy on us. That mercy there means pity me. Help me in my situation, Lord. It's an aorist. So what aorist means is make it your priority, God. When we speak the word of God back to God, it makes us to have priority with God. He pays attention to us. I need to move on. When He was come into the house, the blind men came. They weren't letting it go, were they? And Jesus said to him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you know what that means in the Greek? Do you believe that I have the potential to heal you? Before we can receive from God, we got to believe that God can do it. There's a lot of people say, well, God, if you heal me today, I'll thank you. That's not what He's asking them here. Do you two men believe that I have the potential to heal you? Do you believe that the Spirit of God is truly on me? Do you really believe that God has anointed me? Do you believe that God's not only given me the Holy Ghost on me, but He's given me the power to set you free from your dominance or your oppression that was given to you by the devil, not by my Father? Do you believe that I have the ability, the power, the potential to set you free right now? That takes me over here. In the Hebrews, in chapter 11, listen to the words that the Word of God said. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith that comes through the Word of God, without standing on the Word, without approaching Him and talking to Him and standing on what He's obligated Himself, it's impossible. So that means if I come to Him with the Word of God, I'm opening up a possibility. I'm opening up potential, isn't I? I'm bringing that, not good language, and it's okay now, ain't to say in Webster. But I want you to see here, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So if I come to Him crying to Him and moaning to Him and griping to Him and coming into Him negative, I'm making my situation even more impossible. But if I come into Him with faith, with the Word of God, with a promise that He's released out of His own lips and said, I'm obligated to keep it, I said, I must come to God and believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. If I don't come to Him in the Word, then He's not obligated to reward me with what I'm asking Him. But if I come to Him with the Word that He said that He's obligated to, and I release that back to Him and say, you do have the potential because your Word tells me that you have the potential, because I heard the fame about you. I do believe God's anointed you. I do believe you have the power to heal me. I do believe you have the potential. He said in that kind of faith, and that kind of praying, and that kind of crying out, He said, God will reward you. If not, it's impossible to please Him. And He will reward those that come to Him seeking Him through faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. They said unto Him, yes, Lord, we do. So God said, okay, that's good. I mean, how many in the room here can't believe that God can heal? And what's sad about this, there's probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people going to churches that are being told that God does not heal, that God does not deliver, that God doesn't feel anymore. Listen, we got to turn that around and begin to preach the Word of God. That Word will bring forth a faith in the people's heart. First brings a hope that's an anchor to their soul. Faith cannot function without hope. These men heard about Jesus, and that hope rose up, gave them an anchor in the soul to allow it to flow into their spirit and eventually get into their mouth and put action to their faith. If we're telling the people that God can't heal, if we're telling people God can't fill, if we're telling God is a God of death, He's a God of unability, unpotential, where He can't do anything, then God, we're binding God's hands. Do you see that? But we got to begin to believe. The first thing Jesus is asking them, do you really believe that I have the potential to heal you? Not Johnny, Not Ralphie, not Susie, not your mama, not your daddy, not the minister. How about you? Do you believe that I'm so concerned and I'll turn my pity on you that I'll not only pity you, I will have compassion on you and I will heal you because I have the power to heal you? See, we got to bring this home to where we live. We cry all night and we moan all night, but do you really believe that God can turn any circumstance in your life around? He can save your lost one. He can heal your body. He can prosper you the way you desire. But it has to come again through the Word of God. It has to come through Him. And He's asking these two blind men standing there, following Him, not leaving Him alone, crying out to Him, do you believe, you yourself believe that I have the potential to heal you? Whatever you're asking God today, do you believe that God's able, has the potential to fill this church again? Do you believe that God's able and have the potential to prosper us as a church again, to meet our needs, to burst this place into the glory of God that it once was, people being saved, people being healed, people being delivered? We first must believe that God is a rewarder of those that believe that He has the potential. He's the same today and forever. Isn't that good? That's what He's asking them there. Okay, you've cried out to me, I've heard you. But now do you truly believe that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yeah, Lord, you know how cheap that is? I believe God can heal. I can believe that God can do anything. I was as stupid enough one time in my life to believe there was a Santa Claus. I have a potential to believe in things that are impossible. But do you truly believe? I won't get off on the Santa Claus thing. But do you really believe that God is able to change your life in any way you're asking Him? But again, what He wants you to see is you have to come to Him through the Word. If you come any other way, you'll be disappointed. You'll be ashamed. But if you come to Him through the Word, you come through what He's obligated Himself to, you have something to plead to Him. You have something to argue with Him. You have something to go to Him and say, Father, I know I was standing on the Word of God. I know You promised me. I believe it with all of my heart. It changes the premises of your argument. Not because you feel sorry for me. Not because, oh man, I've lived through the... You can't imagine what I lived through. You can't imagine what my life has been like. He does care. But you got to understand what He's trying to project here. He's trying to get you out of that, out of the flesh, and over here to the Spirit. Do you really believe in what you have heard, the faith you're proclaiming to me right now? Does that faith truly believe that I can heal you right now? Do you really believe that I have the potential to do that? Do you? You personally, each one in this room, have to answer that personally. You can't answer it for your wife, you can't answer it for your husband, and you can't answer it for your kids. It's an individual walk here. It's an individual faith. Each of us received a measure of faith that only increases by you building it, by casting that seed into your ground, asking the Holy Spirit to water, and faith will begin to grow. They said, oh yeah, Lord, we're able. He touched their eyes. That touch there means hand. And what that meant to the Greek mind is when He placed His hands on there as the anointed Messiah, the son of David, the seed of Abraham, they understood there was a transference of power. They understood that. They knew that when the anointed Christ, when the Messiah laid His hands on their eyes, they knew that now the power of God went into their eyes to cause their eyes to be reformed, cause their eyes to be reopened or whatever the situation was. They were receiving the ability of God to do what they were asking. If you're not understanding this, the power of God's in this place. And I'll go even one step deeper. The Spirit of God lives in you. Greater is He that is in you than in you. You have the same power that was there living inside of you. You have the same potential that these men had. And He's asking you, do you really believe? Do you really believe that I pity you? Do you really believe that I have compassion for you? Do you really believe that I can do whatever you're asking me to do? Do you really believe that? That's powerful, isn't it? I've seen the power of God come on to people, and they kind of short-circuited it because they got their mind in the way, they got their senses in the way, they got their logic in the way, they got their reasoning in the way, and they bound up. That didn't change the power of God. But it changed it for them. Only faith can release that power to move. He's showing us that right here. He even puts his hands, God in the flesh, the dumous power that created heaven and earth, is putting that power right into their eyes. He's laying that pure dumous power of God, the dynamite power of healing, into their eyes. But look what he says. The power of God is in you to do anything you need or desire from him tonight. Look what it goes on to say. He turns it around after he puts the power of God into their eyes. It says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, I know I'm anointed of God. I know that I'm the Christ, not me, Jesus. I know that I have the power God's given me without measure. I know that I just put it into your eyes. I know that I've just recreated it. But according to your faith, it will be. You say, oh, come on. In Hebrews chapter 4, this is interesting. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. That power would have not profit them if they didn't get a hold of it with faith. All the power of God that created heaven and earth just went into their eyes, the measure they needed to make them see, but it would have profited them nothing. It would have done nothing for them. Why? Unless because they did not mix it with faith. Isn't that it? Faith is the way to release that power, that potential of God to do something for your life. It's not enough just to have the power of God come in you and on you. He can pick you up. He can move you. He can slay you down. He can do whatever he wants. But it won't do you no good until you release it by faith. And that's what he's asking these men. According to your faith, according to your individual measure, it says, faith be it unto you. That there is ginnamai. And it means according to your individual faith, according to what you're believing that my power can do for you will happen right now. He already put the power of God on him. He already had the potential. I can't imagine the power of God that was on them right now when he laid their hands on him. That power drove out a flow of blood that was in that woman for 12 years. That power just raised up a little child that was literally dead and brought her spirit back. That same power was put onto their eyes. And he said, according to your faith, according to what you heard about me, you apply it to the potential power that I have just given you, and it will work. It's up to us what God does for you. Not what God can do. It's what can you believe God to do. Are you catching a hold of this? Their eyes were open. I believe right there they got a hold of it. That's why they followed Jesus. That's why they cried out and commanded him to stop. As a highest request an inferior can do to a superior, Jesus stopped and turned around and said, do you believe I'm able or have the potential to do this according to your faith? Not my faith. Jesus said, not my faith, your faith. See, God's power is the same yesterday and forever. God can do anything. The same power that created heaven and earth is in you. But your faith is what releases it. And how does he release it? By faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. In closing, Jesus straightly charged them, saying, thou charge, say it, tell nobody what just has happened to you. But the Holy Spirit's letting everybody know by reading it today. Amen. But listen, according to your faith, were they disappointed? No. They received their sight. They were rejoicing. They were glorified. They were not ashamed. They were not disappointed because their faith got them through. Faith is an amazing power releasing instrument. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just the force of faith that releases the power of God. There's no other way God will do it. You still got to believe individually for the measure that he's given you. He's given you the potential to do it. You increase it by hearing the word of God. And anything you want God to do for you, find in the word of God. You stay on that word. Faith will come into your spirit, into your mouth, and it will release according to your faith. You shall have it. But if you don't mix it, it'll profit you nothing. Let's close. Father, we thank you.